Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come. Father, as we enter this worship service, help us to be mindful of so many people on our prayer list. We pray for Guadalupe and Richard's passing. Just fill her, Lord, with peace and comfort in this difficult time. Father, there are so many who are dealing with health issues and spiritual issues, financial issues. There's so many situations in our lives that we're mindful of. And Father, we just ask you to be with those who are dealing with those situations and help us all, Lord, to comfort and help them in any way we can, remembering to include them in our prayers through the week. Lord, there are just a lot of situations out there and circumstances that are difficult, and we take this time to realize that you are in control, that everything works together for good for those who love the Lord. As we go through this worship service, just help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I'm sorry, James. You're good. You're good. That was a beautiful prayer, James. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you praying for Guadalupe. Guadalupe is a woman of great faith, but I know that it was hard to lose Richard because he was a man of great faith, and he will definitely be missed by our family here. I also want to make mention of Junior. Where'd you go, Junior? There he is, right there. Junior is back from Haiti, and so we're so glad to have him. And Junior told me that he went back to Haiti telling the church there all about you guys, and so he says the church in Haiti just sends their greeting to all of you, and they're very mindful of all of you, and please send our regards back to them as well, Junior. And again, brother, we're so glad that you're here. Oh, I'm sorry. Can y'all hear me better now?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I wasn't trying to boast about that or anything. Sorry about that. All right, well, over the next couple of weeks, as Luke said, we're going to be talking about leadership. And I want to kind of give you an explanation of why I'm going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. Bert McKee came to my office, 2 weeks ago, Bert? And he and I were just sitting around talking, and we were talking about the importance of male leadership. I mean, if men are not the leaders that they need to be, whether it's within the home or the church or even out in the world, then it can make a huge impact on our world. In fact, if you look at Proverbs chapter 11, I forgot my glasses too. What a morning. If you are wondering why I take these off during the singing, as I'm singing, it fogs up my glasses, so I have to take them off and I have to put them right back on. But Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says this: without leadership, a nation what, church? Without leadership, a nation falls. And so we began to see how important leadership is. It's important within the home. And I could give you all kinds of statistics where there is no male leadership within the home. And they're not good statistics. And as men, we are to be leaders within the church. And certainly, we're to take leadership in the way we live and behave out in the world if we're going to truly make a difference. And so over the next several weeks, I want to talk to our men. Now, ladies, I think you'll appreciate this series as well, and I think you'll benefit from it as well. But I specifically want to talk to our men. And men, understand this morning that this series is not to tear you down. This series, and I think Bert would agree, this is what we want out of this. We want to build you up. In fact, what we want to do is we want to fire you up to be the leaders that God has called you to be. And where I want to start in this series is with the fact that as leaders, we need to be intentional. I don't know how many of you have used this phrase. I'm sure at least most of you have at least heard this phrase being used, which is accident happens. Any of you ever use that phrase or heard that phrase used before? Maybe someone spills something or they break something, and so very quickly we might say, hey, it's okay, accidents happen. And in other words, what we're saying is, look, things just happen, it's nobody's fault. And we use that phrase to try and bring about comfort to the individual who's done whatever, whether it's broken something, spilt something, to comfort them and to make them feel better about what they've done. I'll never forget when we lived in Alabama, we would go over to my mom and dad's just about every Saturday afternoon as a family, and inevitably my kids would spill something, break something. They were real little, and it's my mom and dad's house, you know. And so I would kind of freak out. I would get upset, and immediately my mom would say, "Stop that. Stop fussing at those kids. They're just kids. They didn't do it on purpose. Slate, accidents what? Accidents happen." And I just remember thinking, who are you and what have you done with my mom? Because I don't remember my mom using that phrase too often when I would do something like that. But you guys know grandkids are different. And so with them, it's accidents happen. But what happens when it's not just spilt juice? What happens when it's not just a broken glass? Would that phrase still work? For example, could we use that phrase when trying to explain to our children why we missed out on their childhood because of a job that was over-demanding? Well, accidents happen. Could we use that phrase when trying to explain to our spouse why we had an affair? I'm sorry, you know, accidents just happen. Or could we use that phrase with our family when they've turned away from God because we didn't get around, men, to being the spiritual leaders that we needed to be? Sorry, didn't intend for that to happen, but you know, accidents just happen. You know, even though we are good intention people, even though we want the best for others, how many of us, and I don't want to see a show of hands, I just want you to think about this, how many of us would say that the phrase that really captures our life is this: accidental living? And what I mean by that is going day to day, week to week, month to month, without really ever stopping and intentionally asking the question, what kind of a leader am I? How am I leading those around me? Now, some of you may be saying, well, Slater, I really don't want to be a leader. You know, I'd rather that be for someone else. I mean, listen, you don't understand my personality. You don't understand. I'm just not gifted in that way. I'm just not leadership material. But it's like one person said, and I really like this definition, one person defined leadership as influence. Now, if that's true, then guess what? In some ways, all of us are leaders, right? Because whether we realize it or not, all of us influence other people, at least to some degree. And I realize that some of our influences are big. Some of you are You know, you own your own business, or you're managers over a company, but then there are others of you, your influence is maybe very small, but you're influencing your children. You're having influence within the home, and others may be watching you that you don't really realize are watching. And so, as Christians, we're called to be leaders. And we have to be intentional in that leadership. A great example of this would have to be the Apostle Paul. I'm sure that most of you know that Paul wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, the Bible, or the New Testament rather, breaks down like this. Of course, you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and this is the story of Jesus. Then you have the book of Acts, and we've talked about this before, how Acts is really a history book of the first Christians. But then you have all these letters that were written to the different churches and to different leaders by the Apostle Paul. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. All of these letters were written by Paul, and they were written to intentionally lead the people in Paul's life. In fact, what I want us to do for the next few minutes is I want us to look at something that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And I really think that this defines for us intentional leadership. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Notice what Paul writes. He says, "Follow my example as I follow" what, church? "As I follow the example of Christ." In other words, Paul shows us that to be an intentional leader means that we must follow Jesus. Paul understood that his effectiveness as a leader was dependent upon his faithfulness as a follower of Jesus. And so as we get into the book of Acts, we see all these different ways that Paul followed Jesus. For example, in Acts chapter 16, we have this story where he has a vision of a family in Macedonia that's in need. And so Paul ends up going to Macedonia to help. In other words, Paul followed the Lord's leading in that situation. Then later on in the book of Acts, Paul is told that if he goes to Jerusalem, that he's going to be harmed. And all the believers were saying, "Well then, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Just stay here." And Paul says, "No, this is where the Lord is leading me." And so, remember, he goes. And so one thing is for certain, if you were following Paul, you would find yourself closer to Jesus because Paul followed Jesus. And sometimes following Jesus was inconvenient for Paul. Sometimes it was uncomfortable. Sometimes it led to danger. Sometimes it meant that he would be ridiculed for his faith. But Paul understood that his faithfulness as a follower is what allowed him to be the intentional leader that he needed to be. You know, today we can look around and we can see all kinds of people leading. Whether it's a coach or whether it's a teacher or whether it's a parent. But in many of those cases, they're not leading intentionally. In other words, they're not good leaders. And that's something that we need to realize. That if we all are leaders because of our influence, not all leaders are necessarily going to be good leaders, godly leaders, intentional leaders. And those who are following, those who are not good and intentional and godly in their leadership, will be led astray. That's why it's so important, men, that we are the leaders that God has called us to be. I'll never forget when I was younger. I don't know exactly how old I was, but I remember I was over at one of my friends' houses, and his mom was running an errand. His dad was off at work, and so we were just there by ourselves, and he said, come on, he said, I want to show you something. And so I followed him into his mom and dad's room, and from there he led me to his dad's closet, and he pointed at some magazines on the floor, and as I got closer, I noticed that they were Playboy magazines. And with pride in his voice, he turned to me and he said, those are my dad's. Like it was a good thing. And fortunately for me, I had a father and I had a mother who had taught me just the opposite, that that stuff was filthy and it was wrong. And so I very quickly got out of there as quickly as I could. But I told you that story, men, to say this, you are leading. Whether it's intentional or accidental, you are leading. There are those who are following you, and if they are following you, where will they end up? What will they care most about? What will their passion be? This is where God oftentimes convicts me. My most intentional focus must be my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's as a leader within my home, you know, as my wife's husband, as my kid's father, as a minister, that's got to be my most important focus. It's not to be a good provider. It's not to be a good protector. It's not to be a great communicator. Now, don't misunderstand me. All of those things are very, very important. But what is most important for me is to be focused, to put Jesus first in my life. And it's that following closely after Jesus that allows me to intentionally lead my family and to lead within the church. And so today, men, if we're struggling to influence someone in our life, then maybe we need to ask the question, am I following hard after Jesus? You know, ironically, what I've discovered in my own life is oftentimes I can get caught up in leading and oftentimes neglect following. But listen, men, it starts first with following Jesus, having a close relationship with Jesus. And when I do that, I become the intentional leader that God has called me to be. But remember, people are following. I've told you this story before, and it's one of my favorite stories. It was recorded in the Washington Post. There were some shepherds, and they were watching their flock off in a distance as they were enjoying breakfast in town. And while they were eating breakfast, they noticed that one of their sheep ran and jumped off a cliff to its death. And they were absolutely shocked by that. But what really shocked them is when their 1,500 other sheep followed the suit of that one sheep. One by one, 1,500 sheep just ran and they jumped off of this cliff. Now, fortunately, only about 400 of them died. Because after the first 400 jumped off, it basically made this nice woolly pillow down below and kind of saved the other 1,100. But they were absolutely shocked and they were interviewed. I mean, this was their livelihood and they said, you know, at some point we thought one of them would stop. At some point, one of those sheep would have had the brains enough to say, this is a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? I know, it's terrible. And go in a different direction. But here's the deal. They didn't. They all followed suit. And some of you have seen this with people that you care about, where the mistakes are made generationally, where the sins of the father becomes the sins of the son. And at some point, someone needs to stop it. Someone says, enough is enough. I'm not going down that path. I'm going in a different direction. And when that happens, when you choose to go in a different direction, listen, people will follow you. And so sometimes we see people following a destructive pattern, but sometimes we see people following this life-giving pattern. And so what I'm saying to us, men, is we need to set forth, we need to provide that life-giving pattern for our family, for the church, for the world. To lead intentionally means we must follow Jesus closely, but then also it means that we must act purposely. We leave Acts chapter 16 and we jump over to Acts chapter 19. And this probably seems like a standard story, but this is really where some good application lies. We see that Paul arrives in Ephesus. And when Paul arrives into Ephesus, he has this purpose. He has this mission. I mean, in his mind, he already knows where he's going to go, how long he's going to stay, and what he's going to do once he gets there. And this was just his thing everywhere he went. In fact, look at Acts 19, 8 through 10. Paul entered the synagogue and he spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Now, that's how Paul typically did things. That was his pattern. He would go into a city, he would go to the synagogue, and he would start with the Jews first. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, so Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lectureship hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in this province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see in all of this. Again, Paul had a purpose. He was a man on a mission. He would go into a city, he would start with the Jews, he would go to the Greeks, and then he would stay there for a while until everyone had an opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus. And in turn, well, look what Paul says in Romans 15, 19 through 20. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition or my purpose to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Notice, Paul acted purposefully. He began with the end in mind, and the end was this: I want to go into these areas and I want to teach people the good news about Jesus. These people who have never, ever heard about Jesus before. I want to go into those areas and I want to teach them about Jesus. And so every day, he worked toward that end. Let me ask you this morning, is there some relationship, is there some area of your life where you have determined, this is what I want it to look like? This is the direction I want this relationship or this area of my life to go. We have to start with the end in mind. We can't just wait and see what happens. For example, Julie and I, a long time ago, we had decided in our minds when we got married that we did not want to be just roommates. That we didn't want to just be financial partners. Because we had seen a lot of couples who ended up, and basically that was their relationship. And I know when those couples got married, that was not their intention. I know none of them started out their marriage thinking, you know, I just need a good roommate. I just need someone to help me pay the bills. And yet that's where a lot of those couples ended up. Listen, we have to start with the end in mind. If we want to have a passionate, romantic, love-filled relationship, then there are things that we need to do to get there, right? There are things that we need to be working toward. We have to act purposely. That's why Julie and I, we have date nights. That's why Julie and I, we take time to get off by ourselves, or we, whether it's walking or jogging or working out, whatever we're doing, or just laying there in bed, where we just spend time alone together communicating. There are things that we have to do. We have to act purposely for us to have that end result, to have the marriage that we want to have, that God wants us to have. I think about our children. Thank the Lord that every one of our children have given their lives to Jesus. Now here's the deal. Julie and I, before any of our kids were ever born, we were already praying for our kids to give their life to Christ. And then after they were born, we prayed with them and we studied with them and we have tried to teach them about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Julie and I are perfect as parents. We'll tell you that we have a lot of faults. But we realize that we could not leave our children's spirituality to chance. We wanted them to become children of God. That was most important for us, for God to have them, for them to serve Him and to love Him. But we couldn't just leave them to themselves and say, well, you know what, let's just see what happens. We had to be intentional. We had to act purposefully. And the same is true for all of us. We have to start with the end in mind, whatever it is. We have to say, this is where I want to end up, and then we have to work toward that. Imagine, if you will, and I just love football, but imagine, if you will, you have a football coach. And one of the things I love about football is it's a very strategic sport. I mean, you have these coaches who will watch hours and hours of game film of their opponent, and they'll come up with a game plan of, you know, what they're going to do if this happens, and there's all kinds of different options. It's very, very strategic. But let's say you have a football coach, and we'll take this as at a college level since I was wearing my mask this morning. But let's say you have a football coach who comes in and he talks to his team about winning a national championship. But then he doesn't show up to coach the team during the week. He only shows up for the games. And so throughout the week, there's really not much coaching, there's not much encouragement, there's not much constructive criticism, and he doesn't call in any plays. He just says to the team, look, you guys go out there and you just work it out for yourselves. How do you think that would go? Yeah, but he made sure, man, they've got their jerseys on. They've got all the proper football equipment. We say that's a good coach. I think, men, we can sometimes, and I'm talking about myself included, we can be tempted to do that with our family. Maybe we're around sometimes on the weekends, but we're not leading intentionally. We're not encouraging. We're not giving that constructive criticism that needs to be given out. Or maybe when things are on the line, we're tempted to be too busy with something else. But hey, everyone's dressed and everyone's fed, but there's no intentional leading. Listen, if we're going to be an intentional leader, we must act purposely. As I thought about my own life, so oftentimes what can happen with me is I confuse my good intentions with purposeful action. I mean, I really do have good intentions. I really do want the best for my family. Are you with me? And I want the best for the church family and for my neighbors and others around me. But oftentimes, I let that be the end. It's just those good intentions. I don't act. I don't do the things that I need to do to get that end result of where I want things to be. And here's the deal. Good intentions are worthless if they are not backed up by purposeful action. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I know on Sundays, after I get done preaching, I'll have some people who will go out and they'll say, "Man, Slate, I really appreciate that lesson. You really stepped on my toes today. You know, that I really needed that, and man, that's really encouraging. I want to know that I'm making a difference in people's life." But here's what I often wonder. Those people who are saying that, are they going to do anything with it? Are they going to act on what they've heard? James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word, deceiving yourselves." He says, "Do what it," what, church? "Do what it says." There's got to be action. We can't just think, "Well, I'm here at worship. I'm taking notes. I'm shaking my head. I'm saying amen. Everything's fine." It's not about good intentions. It's about purposeful action. What purposeful actions are we taking? And for some of you, you may be thinking, "Well, what exactly does purposeful actions look like? I mean, what is it? What does an intentional leader look like?" Well, there's a book called The Leadership Challenge. And it gives several principles or practices in this book. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but there are several in this book that we also see in the life of Jesus. And I just want to share two of those with you as I conclude my lesson this morning. First of all, model the way. Model the way. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says to all of them, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what, church? And follow me." Here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus never asked us to do anything that he himself was not willing to do. Are you with me? We can't say to our kids and we can't say to our others, "Listen, I want you to do what I say, but don't do what I do," because let me tell you something, they totally see through that. We have to model it for family, the church, for neighbors, for the world. I think about what Peter wrote, even concerning elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. He says, don't lord it over. In other words, I want you to lead not by being a dictator, by lording over your eldership over the church. But notice what he says, how they are to care for the church. He says, I want you to lead them by your what, church? By your own good example. And that goes for all of us. That's what a leader looks like, is modeling the way, being an example, and then others will follow. But then one last thing I would mention is encourage. If we're going to make a difference in the lives of others, we've got to encourage them. We've got to build them up. Jesus encouraged Peter for his confession. He encouraged Zacchaeus for his changed life. And intentional leaders encourage others. They take notice of the growth and the contribution that others are making, and they celebrate it. And it builds them up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, this is what Paul writes. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will, what, church? That will help others to become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. And so if we want to lead, if we want others to follow, then we've got to encourage. We can't tear down. We've got to build up. And I'm asking this morning, when was the last time you encouraged those around you? Those within your family, those within the church. Maybe it's someone that you work with and you're a leader. People are following you. When was the last time you wrote them a note and said, listen, man, you're doing a great job. Keep going. I can really see some growth in you. Until there's purposeful action, it's hard to be an intentional leader. Men, are you intentionally leading? You're leading. But where are you leading others? You're leading your family. You're leading within the church. You're leading those who are watching you. Where are you leading? We want to offer an invitation today. And if there's someone here who needs prayers, maybe it's in the area of being who God has called you to be, we would love to pray with you. We'd love to lift you up for God, for His strength. God working in you through His power, through His Spirit, can make you everything that God wants you to be, everything that you need to be. And so we'd love to lift you up before God, or if there's someone here this morning who would love to know more about Jesus, let me tell you something, Jesus can change your life. And if you will come to Jesus, you can have all your sins completely forgiven through Him. And if you'd love to know more, we'd love to tell you. But today we want to go ahead and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper after we have our song and our scripture. If you want to see me after the lesson today, or if you'd like to meet with any of our church leaders, we would love to meet with you, pray with you, and talk to you.